Coming to you live from the second bedroom of Shane's apartment. This is the Shane and Scuba Steve podcast.
This is our first time doing a podcast. We got to check all the levels
a
lot just in case. Because sound quality is always our number one concern.
That's what I care most about.
It is. A lot of people listen to us clinking ice for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Being hydrated was important back then. It's fine. I don't have a seismographically balanced table to work with over here.
This is pretty good.
It's stable.
Yeah.
It's made of glass.
It's not wobbly.
It's an insulator.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Sunday, everyone. Welcome back to the Shane and Scuba Steve show.
It is Sunday.
It's Sunday.
Brunch day.
It is a brunch day.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's brunch, a brunch day.
Mimosas, egg sandwiches, avocado egg toast.
Yeah.
Mimosas.
What's your? I went to brunch yesterday. I had an egg sandwich.
What was in your egg sandwich?
It was supposed to be a jalapeno cheddar biscuit
mm-hmm.
with two eggs,
mm-hmm.
cheese, and sausage.
Mm-hmm.
I got an English muffin with two eggs. There could have been cheese
mm-hmm.
and bacon.
Oh.
They didn't have the biscuits. I respect that. I understand. But mm-hmm. the sausage got lost in translation, which I feel like mm-hmm. happens a lot for some people.
Yeah, understandable.
So be it.
Yeah.
The hash browns. Are you a home fries guy?
I'll do home fries or hash browns. I'll take either.
Okay.
Any potato. You can give me, like, I give you mashed potatoes for your breakfast. I go, okay, that's great. Thank you.
Honestly... Okay, wait, hold on. Could you put mashed potatoes on a griddle, like a waffle? Could you waffle?
It wouldn't be able to hold enough structure. Any good mashed potato wouldn't be able to hold the structure to put it on the sandwich without it just being smushed, and then you take a couple bites and it gets smushed even more blended.
Okay, because I'm thinking like Waffle House style mm-hmm. shredded potatoes.
No, those aren't good potatoes, so yeah, sure. Yeah, those potatoes would work
just
fine.
Little cornstarch, little heat.
Yeah. Exactly.
Melt them into a brick.
You need like day old mashed potatoes that have been like sitting in the freezer or like the fridge. Well, you know what I meant.
Yeah.
But so they're still like very tough. So then when you put it in, like smush it down, it's like they're still keeping their shape. It's more like at that point, like a Play-Doh where like you push it and it breaks, but it doesn't break apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 It's yielding.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
like how you got to make fried rice with day old rice.
Exactly. I know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to my mashed potatoes and breakfast sandwich quality.
You got
to
waffle everything.
Yeah.
I actually went, this is like last week, I went to go get coffee in the morning. And I was like, you know what? I could kind of go for a breakfast sandwich right now, but I just go to Market Basket mm-hmm. to get breakfast sandwiches because they just have them as like hot and ready to go. And so I'm standing there just picking up multiple foil wrapped containers and then just checking each one because it's like, oh, this one's a chorizo egg and cheese on an English muffin. I'm like, English muffin. And I pick up another one. It's like, this one's a bacon egg and cheese on French toast. And all of a sudden, I'm like, who is deciding to eat just French toast as two slices of their breakfast sandwich? Which is something we did in college. I haven't done that in a long time. I feel like my arteries wouldn't take it.
No, they wouldn't. I don't hate the idea. I like it.
No, right? It's not. It's by no means. It's like a McGriddle. That's mm-hmm. what it is at the end of the day. You're eating mm-hmm. a McGriddle.
Yeah.
But eggy bread. Love it.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Mine had pico de gallo, avocado,
ooh.
Bacon, egg, and a chipotle aioli.
Oh. Oh, that's like a supreme breakfast
sandwich. I know you don't care for the avocado because of like your made up allergy or whatnot.
I know, right? Just my throat closing.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's why I drink it. I blend it up. Eggs are soft.
You blend?
Yeah.
Puree? Little...
Yeah, it's quick. It's still, you just put it on high. You just two little taps like a vroom, blended.
Not guac texture.
No.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, actually, that reminds me. No one's made avocado milk yet.
That you know of.
I feel like we're mere days away now. I've said it out loud.
Yeah.
This is how all these things start. Oat milk started because some guy was like,
what about? Maybe it's the color. Maybe the color is like, because you have to add a chemical to make it not green, and the green is too unappealing. It's like, we tried it. People don't like it. It's like they just can't get past that it's green when you're drinking it.
Yeah, we're well past the years of like Shrek-themed ketchup.
Yeah.
Those were dark
purple
years.
And green ketchup.
Do you think we're all internally damaged from that?
You mean like mentally or like physically?
I mean physically. Like someone's in 20 years, someone's like, hey, you remember like the late 90s where y'all like were like slurping up Heinz Easy Squeeze?
I'm thinking more like there's going to be a bunch of people who had like, the connecting thing is like, oh, all of our appendix ruptured. Like nothing
sure.
too
something
serious,
like
but like, oh, we all had to have our appendix removed at one point. Oh, well, hey, that's okay.
Like, I feel like it's just, it wove its way in. So you're not going to be able to identify it individually.
Some gallbladder issues, but yeah. Maybe a gluten
intolerance.
Thank you.
So kids are popping out with purple.
I don't know
hair.
Why I was gonna go a gluten indifference. I don't see them. It's not my problem.
Could be. What's a gluten?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't need to know.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Maybe carbs. Yeah, my mom used to talk about carbs. Now we don't call them carbs anymore. They're called gluten.
I feel like it's we'll see in a mm-hmm. couple of years how that goes. I feel like egg sandwiches though are the one thing where you can get really creative with. But at brunch, no one's gonna stop you.
Yeah. No.
I love making them start.
When they give you a bucket of mimosas, yeah, they don't care what you want. What do you want to have for your food? You want french fries in your breakfast sandwich? Sure.
Wait, I'll put a hash brown in a breakfast sandwich. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. Why not?
No, I mean actual french fries.
That's fine, too.
Yeah,
why not?
Yeah, of course.
I used to put french fries on burgers.
Yeah. But that's, you already eat, that makes sense.
But it is a gratuitous because you're then just moving the entire meal into between the buns.
I'm saving time.
Are you, though?
It's going to take.
Moving time from Earth, though.
Exactly. I want to get out early. I heard there's a late showing, so I want to make sure I can make it.
Yeah. Brunch is also an interesting time, I feel like, just for the what people will eat for brunch.
Oh, yeah.
We walked by a restaurant yesterday in Waltham. We took Ziti for a walk after we got back from our brunch and going out after that. And it said we serve brunch like 11 to 3, but dinner menu all day.
Yep.
If you're serving your dinner menu all day, it's not your dinner menu. It's your all-day menu. Just call it that. Don't be like,
no, it's dinner. There's a difference.
If I order a dinner menu item like meatballs and spaghetti at 11:15, is there a difference?
The difference is that restaurants will have a lunch menu because they're prepping dinner items during the lunch shift.
Yep.
And they won't. Then they'll probably have everything on the lunch menu on dinner, but like they're talking on the prime rib. But the reason they're saying it's dinner all day is letting you know, like, hey, if you come in at 9 a.m., we'll have prime rib ready. There is a difference. The spaghetti and meatballs is the same. You have that takes note, Steven. You don't get it. You don't get it. You've never had to wake up for your 10 o'clock shift after closing at midnight, and going back to the bar, and people be like, "Oh, you do dinner all day? Oh, I was hoping to come in for lunch. Yeah, I can make you the fucking sandwich. It's just not going to be. It's on the back page, not on the front anymore. Okay, God.
Wait, but so why is that the? Wouldn't it just be an all day menu if you can make if dinner's available all day?
But you prep. No, you're just prepping it on Sundays.
Just early prep.
Yeah, so like the night before you're doing. This is just at least at my place where dinner was all day on Sunday.
Yes.
And you would prep a bunch of that stuff the night before.
Okay.
But the only reason you're not making then like an all day menu is like, well, we're just going to use the dinner menus today. I'm not going to make new menus just for this specific day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand this.
Yeah.
I understand. But a Saturday, I feel like you could have a lunch menu. I don't know.
Well, we have a lunch menu on Saturday.
Well, obviously, this place we walked by, brunch and then dinner all day. It's a semantics thing. I don't know.
And brunch is just lunch.
They also had 4 A-frames out front. Corner restaurant, 4 A-frames. I was like, how much marketing coverage do you need on A-frames?
4.
At least, right? Because you got to get them from what? The far distance, the close distance on one street, and the far distance and the close
they
distance.
They got a deal on them, and they're like, we're using them.
Some distributor showed up with 4 of them, and they were like, oh, we got to get rid of
if these. You order 2, we'll send you 2 more for free. Okay, I'm going to use them.
What's crazy, they were unbranded, so I feel like they were self-procured. I don't know.
Nope, it's a specialized company that sells you unbranded A-frames.
Can't just put electrical tape over it anymore.
Nope.
It's Sunday.
Yeah, it is.
We're a week out from The Last of Us season finale, which we'll be talking about in a little bit. Mm-hmm. We have some beverages today. What are you drinking, Shane?
I'm having a Fat Tire Ale.
Ooh.
It is, what percent is this?
74.
Well, the first number I saw was 1991, and I was like, that's going to be an issue for later. I'm not seeing a percentage on this, so I'm going to at least say no more than 5, I hope. I would hate to have later on be like, it was 9.
No, there's no way that's 9.
Yeah, I'm going with it. It says low impact, so I'm going to say that's probably ABV, even though someone else can go, no, that's like Fat Tire's whole motto is low impact. Yeah, I'm going to go with like 5%.
Okay.
You? What are you having? You're having something a lot stiffer than myself.
I am having something a lot stiffer. I'm having a Old Forester 1920, which is delicious bourbon. It tastes like caramel and banana bread that I can eat. It's good. Yeah. It's very good. If you can find it, it's delicious. If you can't find it, try again later. It's possible.
If you can't do that,
takes time.
UV blue. Get some UV blue. Get some...
Do you think your body can handle UV blue?
No.
I think about this like once a month.
No, I can... No.
Do you know what my choice of drink was when UV blue was popular?
UV blue.
UV blue and a green Gatorade.
Yeah, of course, because you're a genius and you're a left brain person.
Oh, wait, no. It was UV blue and a yellow Gatorade. And that turned green.
Oh, see, like I said, your left brain. Yeah. Oh, man, you probably walked into those parties. I won't say the affiliation that the parties were associated, but maybe it was a popular sport here in the States. Of course, I'm talking about the ultimate frisbee. Scuba was a frisbee.
Was not.
Everyone knows.
Is that they call themselves?
No.
No, this was pre-college.
Yeah, okay.
The UV blue was pre-college.
That's not anything. You want to admit to that? Oh, man, I'd never admit to that. Oh, man. Yeah, no. But, oh, man, you were the coolest thing kid in high school showing up with those green.
Definitely wasn't. But it worked.
Yeah. Well, there was at least one person who probably, they saw you today walking the street, go, that was that guy that really cool, like, green Gatorade at the parties.
He just looked like he was so relaxed all the time with a green Gatorade.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, just didn't seem to go on the crazy rant at all. And then,
oh, I wish I could have hung out, been down on his level of just like, oh, man, I'll hang out with all my friends. I'll just have a green Gatorade. I don't need
it. Yeah, no one just realized that you're drinking, what is the yellow Gatorade called?
Yellow Gatorade?
Yeah, what is it called?
It's called yellow.
Is it? That's, well, yeah, that's like colloquialism, but like, what's its real name?
Pretty sure it's just called yellow.
I think it's
like electric, maybe something.
To quote Lil Wayne, like, what's your real name, not your stripper name?
I believe blue is Arctic something.
Arctic Rush.
Green is money, and money is power, and power brings respect.
Okay, hold up. We got it.
Yep.
I believe it's just lemon lime.
Yellow.
Yellow, yeah, yes, you confirmed. Yellow is just lemon lime,
mm-hmm.
which is strange. But so be it.
Yep.
This sucks.
Orange napalm. Purple rain.
Are you starting an energy drink? An energy drink company?
No, I'm just listing all the cool names for the Gatorades.
Purple rain?
Yeah, purple rain.
Like a king, though?
Yeah. Yeah, like that kind of rain.
Ooh, maybe
yeah.
We should do a Gatorade taste test for
legal
weeks.
For legal reasons, it's purple rain like a king.
Oh, there's an energy drink called Rain, so we're screwed there, too.
Rain, like that.
R-E-I-N-G.
But they're not called Purple Rain, so.
You know, I gotta be honest. I wouldn't doubt it. There's something called, there's a lot of things called Purple Rain.
Spelled that way?
Yeah.
But.
Purple Rain, according to ethoscannabis.com, yep. Purple Rain is crossing the potent indica strain Royal Purple Kush and nice. Recon OG.
I like this. I like that a lot.
It's yeah. And then there's also Who Wrote Purple Rain, but spelled correctly as R-A-I-N for Prince.
Prince, yes.
And then Future, the rapper,
mm-hmm.
produced by DJ Esco
mm-hmm.
and Metro Boomin,
mm-hmm.
In 2016, published Purple Rain, the mixtape.
What's your favorite Metro Boomin song?
Ooh, good question. His new album went great. Have you listened to his new album?
I felt his new album.
I felt it.
I don't know if I could say I listened, but I felt it.
The album came out. You felt it immediately. You were like, oh.
In my core.
Metro dropped something.
It shook me.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what happened after I listened to the Metro Boom album.
Metro Boomin.
Shorthand. All
you
the
go boom, shorthand?
All of us boomers, we call him that.
Metro, all right. Yeah. Just Metro Boom?
Metro Boom.
All right.
And he goes, scream louder, my boomers. Scream at me, boomers. Tell me what you think about school, boomers. And we're like, fuck school, yeah. Bunch of boomers hanging out.
Just boomers hanging out in the schoolyard.
Yep, all had our New Balance white sneakers on and our shorts.
I was at the dog park earlier. We talked about this. But here's the thing. It was a mud pit, right? Everything's defrosting, whatever. Dude's standing there with his dog. Bright white Nike dad Nikes, and I was like, dude, I'm wearing Crocs, like I'm proud of you because I can hose these mm-hmm. down outside. You got a whole dad situation going on. That's nice.
I'm gonna be the cool dad wearing Converse.
Yeah, why not?
And everyone will be like, ooh, you're so cool. And I go, yeah, but I have no arch support at all. I have zero. How did people play basketball?
I've got
the shoes?
Flattest foot in the entire playground.
Rocky trained in these. Rocky fought Apollo Creed after training in the. He should not be standing. He can't stand for 10 rounds after wearing these shoes all day.
Actually, do you think there's a market for like comfy Converse, like supportive Converse?
No, because it would just change. It would change design. They wouldn't be able to keep the same paper thin cloth of
paper thin canvas.
Yeah, exactly. and add arch support.
Recycled old footballs.
Or when like you hold it upside down, you're just like, my foot fits in this. This looks so. Oh my god!
Stretches.
I think if a sharp snowflake landed on this, it would rip it open. Yeah.
Strange things have happened in the world of Converse.
Yeah.
A local company, I think.
You sounded confident about it.
Yeah, I was confident for a split second, and now I got to use the handy.
Hey, local to the United States.
Yeah, local to this galaxy. I got to use the handy dandy iPad to figure mm-hmm. out Converse.
Is that actually an iPad or is that like a Microsoft tablet?
Oh, this is an iPad. Headquarters of Converse is Boston. So I was right. Local company.
Its headquarters is here, but to get it start in here?
Folks, we're going on a deep dive.
Because I was going to say, they might just be here for tax reasons, because we all know that Boston and Massachusetts are very cheap taxes.
They were founded, they opened the Converse Rubber Shoe Company mm-hmm. in February 1908 mm-hmm. in a local suburb of Boston. I'll give you three guesses. They're connected to 93. They're near the new casino that opened. And that's it. It's like a TikTok where they say they're going to do three things, but there's only two.
Fuck you. Connected to 93 near the new casino being Encore?
Yes, correct.
Okay, just making sure. I'm like, I hope there's not another casino because I have no idea. Okay, where is... It's what's the town where the Earls is that we've been to a few times?
Ooh, so close. That's Somerville.
Okay, not Somerville.
Not Somerville.
Okay, got it. Okay, got it.
You're close though. It's that neighborhood. It's that area.
Does it also start with an S?
No.
Okay.
Where else is it? Saugus?
I'm just.
Okay. All right.
Brighton.
Nope. 93 belt.
And I got one more guess.
Vertical. Opposite 93 runs vertical.
Oh, okay.
You went west with
Brighton. I thought that meant to be a hint. I'm like, the town rhymes with vertical.
No, I'm trying to think of one more thing to give
Tewksbury
you.
Tewksbury vertical.
No. What is it? What can I give you?
Do the Celtics play there?
No, Celtics do not play there.
So it's not the Garden. Okay, got it.
No, but that is close. There's a Converse store at the Garden.
This final town is Shrewsbury.
You went way far west.
What was it?
Malden.
Malden doesn't exist. Malden's not a place.
But 1908, it was a place.
That anybody that goes to Malden gets out of Malden.
Yeah, that's the most detail we need to provide about Converse right now. Converse at one point did move from North Reading mm-hmm. In 2001.
Yep.
Oh, they moved from North Reading in 2001 to North Andover.
Yep.
And then they were bought by Nike in 2003.
Oh.
And then in 2013, they moved to Lovejoy Wharf in Boston, right near the Garden.
All right, I'm going to walk in there the other day, next day, and be like, hey, can I get a deal?
Yeah, because we clearly know a lot of company history.
We do. Hey, I know. 1908,
we do here.
Malden.
We dive deep into company history. So we have two trailers of the week this week. One's going to be brief. One's going to be slightly longer discussion about them. Do you want to start with the longer discussion or the shorter one?
Is the short one the animated one?
I'm not telling you.
Let's start with the short one.
So Ghosted, a 2020...
Thank you.
So the short one today is Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken. Animated film directed by Kirk D'Amico and co-directed by Farron Pearl is a coming-of-age movie, animated.
Is this Disney?
No, this is DreamWorks.
That's right.
This is DreamWorks. So Ruby Gilman plays a teenage kraken after finding out from her grandmother.
She trains with the grandma, but I bet her mom tells her.
Don't go on land.
Yeah.
Don't
go on water. That's... You're thinking of the one about the two boy mermen in Italy who are not supposed to go on land because they turn into humans. This is about a girl who's a kraken who's on land and shouldn't go into water because then she turns into the kraken.
Classic story, though.
Yeah, of course. Classic. What was the one about the boys in Italy?
Oh, my goodness. That was a Pixar movie.
Yeah, it was. And it's a... Is it,
Luca?
Yeah, it was Luca. Yeah, it was
Great
Luca.
Movie.
Great movie. Oh, my God.
Emotional.
Easily my favorite movie called Luca.
Not many, but one of the best.
But it's my favorite.
So Ruby's whole deal mm-hmm. as a kraken, mm-hmm. They're defending the world from the mermaids, mm-hmm. Who in this movie is played by Annie Murphy. Mm-hmm. It plays a character named Chelsea, mm-hmm. who's a mermaid. It's very much a spoof. It feels like on,
The Little Mermaid.
Thank you so much. I was just gonna call it Ariel the Mermaid.
Well, I'm saying because, this mermaid is a redhead.
Just yep. Like, yep. Yep. So Lana Condor plays Ruby Gilman, the 16-year-old girl who's trying mm-hmm. to fit in. Great cast. Sam Richardson's Ruby's uncle.
Boom.
We have Jabuki Young White mm-hmm. as Ruby's crush.
Yep.
And Jane Fonda is the warrior queen of the seven seas, Ruby's grandmother.
That sounds like Jane Fonda to me.
Yes. It's not, yeah, of course. Why not? You don't Dolly
do,
Parton.
You but. Don't do 70, 80 for Brady and The Newsroom and not be the queen of the seven seas.
No, that's only natural.
Yeah.
The Newsroom was a fantastic show. It just ended before its time.
I don't like the ending, though. I think we've said this many times on this podcast. Yeah. The ending it's a bad ending.
Would you bring it back?
Probably just to get away from that ending.
If we could install ourselves as the head of whatever runs HBO.
The writing would be so much worse. Let's do a walk and talk. Why are we saying we're going to do a walk and talk? Well, so the audience knows. You guys just wrote your own words in the script.
So through the movie, it seems mm-hmm. like Ruby's going to learn about defending the seven seas. There's a scene about learning her powers. Apparently, she has laser eyes.
Because all Krakens do.
Because, you know, Kraken, except for the rum, very ambiguous. Shane, you know, we've only explored like 5% of the ocean floor.
I don't like that.
There's
That's
95%
scary.
Else out there that could be Krakens.
So bad. I hate that. Just That's Krakens my least favorite thing about the ocean.
And redheaded mermaids.
Oh, my God. If I had enough money, I would light the ocean. Like, light it up. So
reverse James Cameron. You're going down there with just torches.
No. Not like light it up on fire. I mean, like, just lights.
Oh, yeah. That's what I mean. You should just
be
playing Minecraft.
So, oh, my God. I would just... I don't care if, like, the fish can't... I don't fucking care. Nah.
I got to know what's underneath me at all times.
Ooh, because those fish are dying, we're actually going to say, good. Good. As long as I know.
You raise a good point. Actually, glass bottom boat, yes or no, would you go on one?
I mean, it depends on where the boat is. Like, I mean, like the lake that my family Caribbean. Visits? Probably not. I don't want to see what's
Caribbean.
In that.
Like, you're just... You're...
Yeah, probably, yeah, man.
Okay.
Caribbean.
Sure, Caribbean. Pirates of the...
Caribbean.
Yeah. Mm.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Peril.
No, because that sounds cool.
Peril. Hey, you got my peril.
Yeah. I need my apparel. This movie looks interesting.
Are you excited for Rumi Gilman?
Not really.
Why are you so excited?
It slipped out that it could be an option for our trailer of the week this week.
Because we all know that everyone else is talking about the Little Mermaid trailer that came out during the Oscars. But us? No, we're going to talk about this spoof.
You didn't even say the Little Mermaid. That's an option.
Yeah, well,
it looks fantastic.
I actually did say it, but I thought, oh, no, there's not much to the trailer because it's just the Little Mermaid.
I mean, I think they're going to do a great job.
Oh, no,
I know they're doing. I know a lot of this comes from a place of like intellectual property protection, which is interesting too, because I feel like we're at a point like people don't want the two creepy Winnie the Pooh movies to come out like on a regular basis. I don't want. I never hoped for that for Mickey Mouse and all that, but...
Oh, well, Mickey Mouse, no. Mickey Mouse, every time its license is going to expire, that's when Disney's going to be like, what's this? This $1 billion just fell out of my pocket. Oh, no.
But they've got their own problems right now with their whole parks special district situation in Florida. But
downtown Disney in California, fucking thriving.
Oh, Haley Bailey looks great in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we look forward to reviewing it when it comes out.
And Javier Bardem.
Yes, Harvey Vietnam.
Yeah.
David Diggs as well, Sebastian. Aquafina's Scuttle.
Oh, I forgot about Scuttle.
A northern gannet and a friend of Ariel's. Oh, it's a bird.
Oh, that's Scuttle.
The character will be portrayed as a female diving bird instead of a male seagull in order to feature the character in underwater scenes. Interesting. Very interesting.
How underwater? I mean, like...
How is the bird going to talk underwater? Exactly. Melissa McCarthy's Ursula, and she presented the Oscar with Haley Bailey, which was fantastic.
Not the Oscar. They just presented the trailer. That's all they presented.
Right, because Disney owns ABC. And
which we're saying, too, that must be like the weirdest part of the Oscars. Like, you're waiting, like, oh, I've been working all year, like, we're nominated in the middle, go, and everyone, here's a trailer for this new... Okay, cool. And next, foreign language film.
True. The Little Mermaid will come out on May 26, 2023, wherever movies are found. That said, Rumi Gilman, Teenage Kraken, will come out June 30th, 2023.
Ooh. I think we'll be mermaid out by that point.
You think? Think the market's going to be oversaturated by mermaids?
It will, yeah. Especially CW's happen. New show, Mermaid, Mermaid Me, Mermaid Us. Yeah, it's going to be...
That's not a show, is it?
The fact that you think there could be a...
It's the CW. I will take nothing at face value with them.
Yeah.
I don't put anything past them.
Yeah, exactly.
Could be. Might not be.
You don't know how tough it is to be a mermaid in Oklahoma. Sad indie song starts.
That would be a great web series.
Yeah. My dad died because I'm a mermaid and I needed water and he got me water. But he drowned to get it for me.
So I've been watching the other two. On HBO Max. It's I believe it's a Comedy Central show that came out during COVID. And it's like a spoof. The first season's kind of a spoof on like how Justin Bieber came to fame.
Mm-hmm.
Was very much like a Comedy Central TV show. It came out 2019, but it's now on HBO. But they ended... Oh, there's a third season coming out. That's crazy.
That. Oh, my God.
They end season one basically being like they're on a plane producing this kid's, you know, like new album, and they're like... They've been telling him that his dad died from cancer.
Yep.
And then the mom goes out and is like, you're like, everyone keeps asking how he died. Like, I'll just fucking tell you. He's an alcoholic and he was drinking on the roof and he froze to the roof and died. And then his dick stuck to the roof and we had to get a hair dryer to melt him off. And it's the, like, sorry, your bit now about the mermaids just fucking sent me. This is great.
I love it. No, this is good.
Yeah. Third season's coming out soon. I got to watch it. We literally watched, I think I watched the entire first season of the show last night.
Are you going to tape it on? You're going to video record it on tape?
TiVo. Yeah.
Oh, nice.
We're back
nice,
to TiVo.
Nice. Bet it's cheap rates these days.
TiVo's always there for me. That's the thing.
That's true.
What could go wrong with the TiVo button on my remote? Yeah. It could fall off at this point. It's very old. I'm taping it on every day. Well, that's our first trailer of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby Gilman, Teenage Kraken,
yep.
Coming out in theaters June 30th, 2023.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Krakens versus Mermaids couldn't have been a better name.
Tale
as old as time.
Cowboys versus Aliens, Krakens versus Mermaids, Batman v Superman.
Yeah. The titular combat verses that everyone loves to see in the movie theaters.
Ben-Hur versus Spartacus.
Kraken versus Mermaid. Mm-hmm. It runs the leaderboard every time you bring it up. Mm-hmm. Shazam, Power of the Gods versus
Kazam,
any other movie.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Who did more money this weekend?
Oh, that's rough. We should probably go see it eventually. When it's in theaters. Not in theaters. When it's on VHS.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
We're going to do a quick Kazam versus...
Kazam box office?
Yeah, we're going to do a Kazam, box office comparison.
I would say Kazam made worldwide $87 million. Kazam,
$87 million?
Worldwide.
Okay.
And that's me being generous right now. That's a generous guess. I don't want everyone thinking I'm foot down on the ground. Kazam made... $200,000 billion.
$1 trillion. All right, so as of 4 hours ago,
mm-hmm.
So yesterday,
yep,
Variety came out with opening day numbers.
I think it made $30 million. Shazam too.
11.7 million in opening day sales.
Mm-hmm.
A figure that included 3.4 in Thursday previews.
Yep,
roughly half the 20.3 million that the 2019 original earned its first day of release, on the way to a $15 million bow.
Mm-hmm.
$53 million bow, pardon me. Kazam,
yep,
grossed $19 million, mm-hmm. on a $20 million budget.
Yep, but what did it make worldwide total? What was the total box office worldwide of Kazam? Please and thank you.
The 18.9 is gross.
Oh man,
on a $20 million budget.
Oh man, what a time to be alive back then.
Shaq said, I was a mid-level juvenile delinquent from Newark who always dreamed about doing a movie. Someone said, hey, here's $7 million. Come in and do this genie movie. And I said, what am I going to say? No. So I did it. So his like quote was basically a third of the budget.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But Shazam, as of 4 hours ago, according to The Hollywood Reporter, opened to a $30.5 million domestic release.
Nice.
Against $125 million budget.
Ooh, not nice.
Not nice.
Yeah, that's rough.
Bombed in China with $4.4 million.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
These things happen. Our second trailer of the week this week. Unfortunately, we have to do these transitions because, you know, sometimes you can't just back away from a $18 million over $19 million movie.
Yep.
I watched Entourage. I know how this works. They didn't. Ghosted. Is an upcoming rom-com. Do you want to tell people what Ghosted?
Ghosted is going to star Chris Evans and Ana de Armas. Now, they meet on a quick little bump in the street, and it's a nice little meet-cute, and they have a romantic evening. And Chris Evans thinks Ana de Armas is the one. So he follows her to London. Not in a creepy way, everybody, because he didn't get ghosted. She doesn't have cell service. Turns out, Ana de Armas is a spy, and Chris Evans is now roped up in her spy affairs. I actually really like this because I feel it's going to be like once where you don't have Chris Evans as like a badass, like who can fight, or even just a tough guy. He works on a farm, so I expect by the end, like, he'll be throwing some punches, but I don't expect him to be like, give me the Glock. I've got the shot.
About a third of the way through the trailer, he does have a pretty decent handle on it.
Because he works on a farm.
Okay.
They're correlated. You got to take, if wolves come to the farm, to shoot them off.
That's true.
Yeah, no, I like this. It's from Apple TV. I like the two of them together.
Yes.
You definitely said, and I do agree, that this feels very Fast and the Furious in terms of like action and like...
Yes.
Escapades.
It very Fast and Furious meets... Mm-hmm. I pick a rom-com.
Hobbs and Shaw.
No, that's not a rom-com. That's a buddy cop movie.
That's a rom-com. They learn to love each other at the end.
That's true.
And he also, The Rock's hitting on Jason Statham's sister in the movie.
Okay, yeah, I can give you rom-com. Yeah. I'll give you buddy cop rom-com. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah. Fast and Furious meets Hobbs and Shaw, the two series that are the same.
This kind of feels like Fast and Furious meets Miles Teller's Two Night Stand.
Okay, okay, I can see
it. I think that's the best way to describe it.
I think it's like Godfather Part 2 meets the Shape of Water.
Sure. Okay, so this movie's coming on Apple TV on April 21st, 2023. It looks great.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a great, I hope it's a great rom-com movie. Scarlett Johansson was originally attached to the film, but she exited in December, leading to Ana de Armas, or De Armas being cast in her place.
Would like to see Chris and Scarlett together. I always love seeing them together.
Hey, they could have kept it going from the MCU, but they didn't.
They worked together before the MCU.
Did they really?
Yeah, they did the Nanny Diaries, and they did I believe it's called Scored, which is like a movie about them stealing SAT answers.
I mean, who didn't do that?
Me, clearly, where I stole wrong answers. I think they might have done one other movie together prior or post, like MCU.
Interesting.
Like at least a quick little cameo here and there with each other.
Did not know that.
Yeah, they're longtime friends.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Chris Evans, famously from Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ana de Armas, not from Massachusetts.
Sadly.
We keep track of those things here.
We'll work on it. Maybe we can get her to sublet a spot. I mean, like, this counts.
Somehow acquire townie status?
Yeah, you're fucking... You sublet a spot? Nah, you're a townie. You want to go to Old Sully's? Yeah, I'll let you go to Old Sully's. Nah, they'll let you in.
How long do you think someone has to, like... I saw this about New York recently on a TikTok. Mm-hmm. How long do you think someone has to live in Boston to be considered, like, a local? Local's 5 years?
Over 5 years.
Okay. Okay.
I don't have a take on that. And... You've had to have a spot in, like, multiple areas of the city that, like, not isn't yours, but, like, you know, like, oh, if you're in, like, Cambridge, go there. If you're in Brookline, go there. If you're there, like, go there. You need at least one in every spot.
Okay. I love that.
Yeah.
That's a good take.
And you also need to make, I don't know, like, $257,000 a year.
That's oddly specific.
Yeah.
That seems very
minimum. You can make more, not less.
Seems very gatekeepy of you.
Well, you know, I just like the city to be to a standard. You know, I know it's a melting pot, but what are we melting in there? Mm-hmm. Plastics? No.
Oh, not in my
city.
Reference.
Yeah, not my city. Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
No Regina George's?
Nope. I board up my windows. They say, give me your hungry, give me your poor. No, thank you. Give me your stuffed and rich.
It's like very European right now. That said, those are our trailers of the week this week. Yeah. Ghost looks great.
It does.
Our discussion on it was shorter than Ruby Gillman, Teenage Kraken.
I think it's because we're both excited for Ghosted.
We are excited for Ghosted, but I now have Ruby Gillman, Teenage Kraken stuck in my head.
Yeah, and now you're going to get so many like recommendations. Like, we saw that you looked at Ruby Gillman, Teenage Kraken. We think you should join this club for fifth grade girls.
Do you think you maybe want to watch more DreamWorks things? Here's the thing. Is there a DreamWorks streaming platform? What do they use? Is it HBO? It must be HBO.
Paramount?
Oh, probably. Yeah, maybe Peacock, Paramount.
Probably Peacock. I'm going to go with Peacock.
Okay. Not bad. Decent. Mid-level. Mid-level streaming service.
Yahoo TV. Quibi.
Oh, poor Quibi.
Yeah.
It could have survived, but it didn't. So, last Sunday, exactly 1 week ago, was the Oscars.
Yes.
At around 8 p.m. when the Oscars started, and the final episode of season one of The Last of Us came out, which we watched it. We watched it together.
Yeah.
It was a short episode.
The shortest. 43 minutes.
43 minutes.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Like network television.
Exactly. I know.
It kind of felt like network television. Now you get down to it.
No.
That shooting montage is very network television.
Disagree.
Disagree?
Disagree.
Disagree.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Well, you want to tell people what happens in the episode? Or?
I can tell people what happens in the episode. So we start with a flashback. We start with a flashback of a woman running through the woods, hearing the infected behind her. She's running towards a house, a very abandoned-looking house, which makes it seem weird because like, it doesn't seem like it's been that long into the Cordyceps crisis.
No, that would be at least...
It's only 10 years.
7 years. Because I believe Ellie's supposed to be 13. And
oh, yes, it's going to be at least 7.
Yeah.
Mm. That house was in far too much disrepair for 7 years. Gotta be honest.
It was an old house already prior to the infection.
This is true.
In the middle of nowhere. Who's the woman?
The woman's Ellie's mother. She's pregnant.
Yeah, but in real life, too.
She played Ellie.
Ashley Johnson.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. How could I forget?
I don't know if she's related to Don Johnson and Dakota Johnson, though.
You never know. We can find out. We have technology.
That's true.
Personal life on Wikipedia says... Nothing. So.
Nothing. She is a loser.
She's been a lot of things, though. She was in Growing Pains for 2 years. She was in The Killing for 2 years.
Yep.
Blind Spot
for 2 years.
5 years. What Women Want in 2020, or 2000, The Help in 2011, Much Ado About Nothing in 2012, and was in a Dungeons & Dragons critical role web series for 5 years.
Yes, actually, that's a podcast.
It's a podcast. It's called like a web series.
Yeah. No, it's because they do video of it. That's why.
That's important. Yeah. We don't do video.
No. That's because of my Jehovah's Witness background. I don't want my photo captured.
Understood.
My essence.
So, that said, she runs into this abandoned house and tries to secure herself very, very pregnant, very, very actively giving birth. At one point, she's running up the stairs and her water breaks.
Yep.
She's in this room. She's got a switchblade.
Yep.
And an infected comes in and tries to attack her.
Yep.
She shivs it in the head and pushes it away and gives birth to her baby. Mm-hmm. As she looks down, she has been bitten.
Yep.
And she cuts the umbilical cord with the switchblade. And we cut to Marlene and several other fireflies making their way into the house to see what's gone on. And Marlene says, what are we going to do here?
Yeah.
And Anna, Ellie's mother, goes, you need to take my baby. We've been friends for a very long time. Like, you need to take this baby and then kill me. And she's like, I cut the cord before I was bit, so it's fine. In class, that's incorrect. Yeah. But we move on. Marlene takes the baby, brings it outside to the other firefly, and then has to kill her best friend.
And the guy does not cover the baby's ears.
Not a good
job. He was told specifically, hey, cover this baby's ears. Didn't cover the baby's ears.
No, and then smash cut. We're back to the present with Joel and Ellie.
Back
and
to reality.
Oop, there goes gravity.
Exactly.
We're in Salt Lake City looking for the secret lab.
Mm-hmm.
Ellie's clearly going through some, trying to reconcile the past experiences of leaving a compound with David.
And also accepting that, like, she knows this is going to be the end with me and Joel. Like, this is where our journey has been leading to. This might be, we might not see each other again.
Exactly. That said, they meet a herd of giraffes in Salt Lake City that have escaped from the zoo. Go ahead.
Question. Are giraffes actually called a herd, or are they called something else?
According to the information I'm reading, it's a herd.
Okay.
But if you'd like to double check with the World Wildlife Foundation, we can do that as we speak. Hold on.
They're a shuttle of giraffes.
Giraffe group called. This is an easy Wikipedia search. The collective noun for giraffe could be a herd.
Yep.
A corps.
Okay.
Spelled like the Marine Corps.
Yep.
Or a tower. I wouldn't say we saw a core or a tower of giraffes, though.
I'm definitely not going to go with tower. I like core, though.
You like
a
core of giraffes?
I like a core of giraffes.
If a core of giraffes rolled up right now, like head height, and we're just like, oh, shit, what are we going to do? What do you do in that situation?
Take a couple pics, keep it for myself. Send them to my boss one day when I'm having, like, I'm running late. Why?
Giraffe on the road.
Totally understand. All right.
Got to stay home. So we get Ellie and Joel are walking through, and Joel explains to Ellie exactly what happened with his scar. And explains that he tried to kill himself after Sarah's death, but his hand slipped at the last second, injured himself, but he came on and realized that he could keep going on. They're captured by fireflies.
He didn't realize he'd keep going on until he met Ellie.
That's true, because time heals all.
But he says, it wasn't time. Oh, that's a great line, and I don't recall if that's in the games, which is that.
Really?
Yeah, which that's such a good... Whew.
Good work. Good work, writers.
good work, professionals.
To keep this next clip short, but Joel, this is also a lot of spoilers are about to happen. Joel wakes up in the hospital and realizes Marlene's kind of pissed because she's like, holy shit, I'm in debt to you now, which is a great line. It's something you don't often see in these cargo delivery movies, which we watch a lot of. Explains that Ellie is going to be taken into brain surgery where they'll remove part of her infected brain.
Yep.
They'll use that to spin up, you know, a vaccine, a treatment, or an antibody for the cordyceps infection, to which Joel freaks out.
Yep.
But Marlene offers him a chance to leave and get out of town before that happens, so he can call in his markers and be good later.
Yep.
Joel kills the people on the stairs that are guiding him down the stairs, and then immediately just, I would say kind of like Call of Duty style, just walks through the entire hospital, just absolutely desecrating the place of people. He ends up in the surgical suite where Ellie's buttoned up, anesthesia'd up, ready for surgery. And this guy holding the scalpel who sounds like he got 3 years out of a pandemic medical school, is like, no, you can't.
I have Band-Aids ready. They're in the room. Don't worry, man.
And Joel kills him immediately,
mm-hmm.
which sets up some stuff for season two, if we're asking about that. Mm-hmm. And then lets the nurses go,
mm-hmm.
I think.
He doesn't shoot him.
Yeah.
He probably did the whole thing. It's like, count to 10,000. Don't open your eyes. And I'll know if you stop counting.
Mm-hmm. And then takes Ellie in the hospital and brings her down to the parking garage where there's a car just sitting on a battery tender, which I thought was so interesting.
You got to keep the battery charged. At this time, the batteries degrade. You got to keep that battery charged. Oh,
absolutely.
Time.
But I'm just saying, I thought it was so interesting that like it's kind of a nice touch.
Maybe that was the car they're going to give to him anyway.
Maybe.
Like they're like, here, take this car, get out of here.
No, because they said they're going to walk him to the freeway and let him go from there. So
maybe she was in the back of her head. She was like, if that car's ready, you can give him the car.
She should have led with that then. Yeah. Been like, I'll give you a car. At least.
Oh, wait, what? Sick 2003.
I need this Xterra right now.
Oh, let's go. All right. Oh, fuck you. Bye, Ellie.
So he gets Ellie to the car, drops in the car. Marlene pops up, mm-hmm. prepared to shoot him, saying there's still time to do the right thing. But he shoots Marlene underneath, like in a little, like,
mm-hmm.
Off the hip. And then to ensure that Ellie isn't haunted in the future by Marlene and the Fireflies, he kills Marlene.
Mm-hmm.
So Joel and Ellie drive away, and as they're driving, they're getting close to Jackson,
yep.
back to Tommy, and mm-hmm. in the settlement. And Joel spins a lovely yarn about how awful everything was.
Quite a tale.
Salt Lake City, and how he saved them from Raiders, and how no one else survived.
The Oakland Raiders, they were coming.
Yeah, and Ellie kind of experiences all the phases of survivor guilt, just in case.
Yep.
And when confronted about his lie, just in case, Ellie agrees. She just goes along with it and says, okay.
Yep.
Because she has no better option than to kind of accept this potential falsehood.
The one person she thought she could trust. He broke her trust.
He did.
You said the shootout, network TV. Mm-mm, no. I thought it's way better than network TV.
I guess.
Because the thing is, in the game, when you do that shootout, it's a pain in the ass to do that shootout. You got to like run around like the whole, you're getting your ass.
It takes time.
Yeah, it does. Because also by that point, because everything you carry in the game, you keep. And you by that point, you got whatever you've been holding onto is all you've got. Mm-hmm. So you're just like, great, I have one pistol with like seven bullets. Great. And there's a bunch of dudes. I thought it was way better than this because it like muted the music. You're half the time, like Joel's not even in like frame. Like he's off to the off center. So it's like he's even disconnected. Just like, nope, I'm just going to mow everybody down. I'm going to go grab Ellie. I thought it was great.
There's a musical score over it though.
Yeah, but like I mean, like it's still, like the audio of the actual violence is muted. There is music over it, but like you're
that brings me network TV.
Yeah, no, but network TV would have like an actual pop song. It'd be like something by One Republic. They wrote the song specifically for this episode of The Last of Us.
Oh my goodness, they released it online early as an MP3 download.
Exactly. So then everyone's like, oh man, can we just hear this? But it echoes the game. It's pretty much the ending of the game. Beat
to
for
a
beat.
T.
Yeah.
I think it's interesting because Bella Ramsey had come out early and said that people are going to be upset by it.
Yeah.
And I think she took a lot of the people that people wouldn't realize about the game's about.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, this is the game's ending.
Yep.
I did read a couple articles that tried to compare the experience of Ellie in the game to the film or to the TV show. That was that Ellie in the TV show is a lot more comfortable with violence compared to Ellie in the video game, which I thought was interesting, but also probably good for character development. Compared to a video game where it's things move at the pace that the developers create versus a TV show where you have to kind of have character buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, that was great. The 43 minutes, when we first sat down and watched, I was like, okay, cool, it's going to be an hour. And then I saw them leaving and going, like, hiking towards Jackson. And I was like, oh, we got, like, time. Like, something's going to happen. We're going to get to Jackson and find out something's changed or there's going to be, like, a something.
Yep.
It doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Cut, end, that's that.
Yeah.
Fantastic episode. Fantastic series. Fantastic season one. I'm intrigued to see what they do for season two if they jump right into the second game.
I still think they're going to give it like a gap. I think season two will be a gap year that fills in what happens between one and two, possibly giving you backstory and the characters will meet in part two.
True.
And then that season three beats that. Because once again, HBO is going to milk this. I don't want to say milk it, but they're going to get two or three seasons out of this. They're not looking to be like, oh, our highest rated show ever, or great, the best numbers we've had in years. Is doing well.
They're also killing off Succession and I think one other season four show this year, so they're gonna need new tentpoles.
Exactly. So overall good. It was a short episode, but at the same time I think even Neil Druckmann and Craig
Mazin.
Mazin. I was like, Marzipan? No. Craig Mazin, they said themselves, were like, the benefit of this show is like, you know, if the pilot needs to be an hour and a half, we're gonna give it an hour and a half. But if the second episode needs to be 40 minutes, it's gonna be 40 minutes because we're not gonna keep you on when you don't need to be. It's not like a network TV show that has 26 episodes in a season.
That's
and
true.
For some reason, the B plot of this episode is my mother-in-law is here in town, but she's trying to get a new job. So we're going to follow her while she gets it. Why am I following the mother-in-law? Why are we? She's
someone
not even.
Someone needed a guest spot.
It's more of a guess. No, she's the B plot. Not even that she's in the B plot. She is the B plot. What the? Oh man, it's crazy that all of our friends are out of town for the week. No.
Great. I think it's a great, great episode. Great way to keep the series going. Look for light.
Mm-hmm.
The Firefly slogan.
Because the first episode was one in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now the light's dead because they killed all the Fireflies.
Exactly. All of them.
Except for those two.
The nurses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think they're nurses, so they don't believe in violence. Except for that doctor who immediately grabbed the scalpel. Hey, man with gun, I got this scalpel. Very close. I'll have to get up to you.
Yeah. I've seen too many memes online of like, okay, so doctor, brain surgeon with like, I don't know how that guy's got to be at least 50 to have any sort of like reasonable medical skill. Like, who learns brain surgery during a fungal crisis?
He's actually a chef who's just really good with mushrooms. And he's like, I think I can figure it out.
This guy makes a mean mushroom risotto.
Oh, my God.
Bless him at the brain.
His beef Wellington, the pate that he mushes up of all. Oh, my God. It's so he chops it so fine.
So fine. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to say about The Last of Us Episode 9?
Pedro Pascal. He's fantastic.
He is fantastic.
He's the bee's knees.
The bee's knees.
Can't wait for whatever he does next.
I have what he's doing next.
The Shane and Scuba Steve show. He's gonna be our guest.
I wish he was.
He has to bring his own mic though.
I have at Con this year.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be releasing a 30-minute short film.
Okay.
With Ethan Hawke.
Oh, okay. I like Ethan Hawke.
Directed by Pedro Almodovar.
Okay.
And it is a 30-minute queer Western short film described as Almodovar's answer to Brokeback Mountain.
Got it. Okay, cool.
So it could be very interesting. Saw that on a movie thing earlier today, but I'm going to confirm that with our handy
A name. Movie thing?
Yeah, well, a movie like Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know. But here's the thing. Can you trust Twitter anymore? Could you ever trust it?
Yeah, man. It says there's hot MILFs in my area that are looking for me.
That's true.
It's true.
This, Strange Way of Life.
Mm-hmm.
The character's name is Silva. After 25 years, Silva rides a horse across the desert to visit his friend, Sheriff Drake. They celebrate the meeting, but the next morning, Jake tells him that the reason for the trip is not to go down memory lane of their friendship.
Mm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
I hope there's a horse.
Tell them there might be. At least one.
Yeah.
Back on the horse. Back in the saddle.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say about The Last of Us?
I'm very pleased with the show. I kind of went in not expecting to enjoy it. I was prepared for it to be kind of lean more into horror, more into the grittiness of it all.
Yep.
And I'm not like, I don't love those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the show balanced it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I never felt like they were using the infected as a scare tactic or a plot tool in that way. I think humanity at that point they use kind of humanity as the scarier piece, which I think is interesting. Overall, really enjoyed it. Didn't play the games. I think I might still play the first one. This kind of has ignited the idea that I could play the first one. Might be interesting to play, but obviously could also jump in the second one now, knowing what I know now.
Yeah.
Overall, very good.
Very nice. Wonderful. Would you say it's better than Real Housewives of Orange County?
Yeah, but like only season one of Roni.
Yep.
Or no, totally. Well, Real Housewives of, it's Rock.
Mm-hmm.
To those of us Rock heads who watch.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. But I think it holds up comparatively.
Very nice.
That said, we have season three of a new TV show. That came out.
Returning TV show.
Well, returning TV show. It's still, you know, every time I look at it, it feels new because it's so good.
Very fresh.
Very fresh. Ted Lasso.
Season 3.
Season 3, last Wednesday, episode 1 came out. 43-minute episode.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Yep.
Brought back a lot of great detail from season 2, including Ted's emotional state.
Mm-hmm.
The need for communication with his therapist who's fucking somebody. It's nice for her.
Can I ask you some questions? Yeah. Where are you? Can't tell you. What sport are you playing? Can't tell you. How many Australians are on the team? 9. Rugby. Rough sport. Oh, man.
We catch up with Rebecca.
Yep.
We catch up with... Oh, my goodness.
What?
The CFO of the soccer team.
Rebecca? Oh, you mean Rupert Mannion?
No. The guy with the glasses.
Higgins.
Higgins. Yes, we'll be back with Higgins. Rebecca. We see Keelan. It's a great like reunion episode, but it shows that there are going to be a lot of open scabs this season.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Rebecca's clearly very, very upset that Rupert and West Ham are very good. A lot of the pundits, the soccer pundits.
Everyone
is saying that Ted Lasso and the team are not going to do well this year.
They're going to finish 20th.
20th, because there's in 21st first place.
Yeah, no, that's... and we get to see Nate. Nate is ruthless now.
Yeah, with his weird fucking silver hair, and he drives a Mini Cooper that gets towed.
That was good. They're like, oh, there must be a maintenance person who parked there. It's like, that's my car. And then he gets... do you know what the car that he got
at the Aston Martin.
Oh, okay, so
that, like, because that scene plays, like, James Bond-esque music, and I think that's how Nate... When Nate pops up, even with the Mini Cooper in the first one, that's kind of how I think Nate perceives himself as like this like super suave, like I'm this guy. That's why he spits on his mirror image all the time to like activate his fucking weirdo-ness. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think what played there.
Yep.
We catch up with Coach Beard.
Yep.
We catch up with Roy Kent.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Tartt's in the mix. Mm-hmm. Great episode. Yeah. Honestly, I think it showed a lot of those open scabs. Mm-hmm. And I think what was really interesting was that a normal Ted Lasso event, like taking your entire soccer team to the sewers,
mm-hmm.
To teach them about how they need to come together to kind of drain themselves of like the bad vibes that the pundits put out and that people doubt them,
mm-hmm.
Is pretty interesting, because what would have been like in season one, been like, oh, it's Ted Lasso, he's American, it's so interesting, is now like, what the fuck are you doing? And we need a team to win the Premier League. Yeah. So
I think it's interesting this season, because it opens up on Ted sending his son off back to America
in
the plane. You see Dev doing that. But you learn by the end of the season or the episode that his struggle right now is, why am I even here? Like, why am I trying? Like, haven't I done enough? But his son at the very end is like, well, you got to try. Like, you have to do it. And even Rebecca's like, I need you to fight. Like, and we do have a great scene with her and Keeley being like, no, you got to let Ted do what Ted's going to do.
Yeah.
But Rebecca still is like, I got to push him. Like, I need you to know, like, this is serious. Yeah. Everyone thinks we're going to lose, and I have to beat Rupert.
Which I think is going to be an interesting kind of an interesting intersection point of, like, the team, Rebecca's own desire to beat Rupert, and then Ted just being Ted.
Yeah. I think the difference, and she even addresses it in the episode, where, like, Rebecca's like, I wanted before to, like, burn his world down, but, like, now I just want to beat him. Like, I don't care about ruining him, but, like, I need to – he can't win. So I think – I don't believe that's going to be, like, a foil this season of, like, oh, my God, she wants to beat him too much. I think everyone on the team is like, no, we want to beat him, especially because Nate is literally being like, oh, the reason they're so – there's 20th is there's no 21st. Oh, the reason the team's in the sewers is because their coach is so shitty, like, just ripping apart. And then Ted does a great job. Like, okay, well, just make some fun of myself. Like, you just see Nate, when we first see him, like, he's just looking on Twitter, looking at all the praise.
Scrolling Facebook.
And then quickly seeing, like, oh, no, now people think Ted is great. Oh.
Yeah, because Ted took the high road.
Yep, exactly. No, but solid opening to the season. Once again, see all the characters again. Roy and Keeley have broken up at this moment because they both work a lot, which they're going to get back together by the end.
Absolutely, because Phoebe's the sagely advice that neither of them knew they needed.
Exactly.
But they got from a child.
Yeah, Roy is just being a little childish, because Keeley was when he was like, we're on a break, and he's like, we broke up. We're broken up. That's what's going on. As soon as turning it on, I was just like, oh, I'm so excited. Like, do we go back to the show?
Yeah.
Do you think this will be the last season?
It very well could be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll have to see how the season goes, but I know that they're very comfortable with this being the end of a trilogy.
Yeah.
Three seasons.
Also, to me, the fact that they open on Ted, to me, is like that big, like, okay, we'll probably close on Ted to finish out the series.
Yeah. But then I don't know if there's anything after that, which is interesting as well. Mm-hmm. But I think this show, I think this show came at a very pivotal time for like a lot of viewers, and just like needed a feel good show that was about like something.
Yeah.
Especially through the pandemic and everything, but we'll see. We're on episode one.
Yep.
Episode two will come out on Wednesday.
Yep.
They're a little bit longer episodes this season. We're looking at like 43 minutes for the first, 47 for the second, I believe.
I felt they were pretty comparable to that throughout the entire show run of the series so far.
That's fine.
I feel like most times it's like 36 to 40 something.
Yeah. I do wonder if even briefly reading reviews, people saying it's still Ted Lasso being Ted Lasso. I wonder if they're even aware of like the critical reception might dwindle at a certain point. And you can't let something like this run for too long.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. But I think I don't fear that, mostly because you think of how much season two shifted and much more emotional beats we were hit with. Not that first season didn't have any emotional beats, but I felt there was even more in the second. I was like, this is the first episode. They're not, of course, going to give us like a heavy-hearted, like, everyone's dead. Oh, no. They could have. Well, they kind of give us like teases of like, oh, Roy and Roy and Kent are broken up. Roy and Keeley are broken up. The team is struggling. Everyone thinks so. It's like, this is going to be an uphill battle, I think, to time. But, like, you know, I'm not worried yet. I think maybe, like, by episode 4, if it's still like, this is just Ted Lasso. Like, we're getting the same jokes again, the same, like, beats of having Giannis just be like, statistically, the team that gets promoted always gets demoted the next year. It's like, dude, shut up.
Your mouth.
Kiko can't even get the bus. Yeah, he lives here. I mean, he works a lot. No, he lives here. He lives at the facility ever since his cult ran down. He's part of a cult. No, he ran it. Whew.
But see, those beats don't end.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you feel about the last scene?
Last scene was phone call with his son.
Yes.
Well, I thought it was great because we get to have him, like, tell him, like, no, you got to try. Like, that's what you got to do regardless. And him even be like, no, that's right. Like, that's, you don't give up. You at least keep trying and you finish your chance. And then him learning that his ex-wife is seeing somebody. I think that's there to be kind of almost that, like, final nail in the coffin for him to be like, okay, like, finish this so I can go home. Like, get this done so that I can go home and just spend time with my son. Because it's a very long scene of him dropping him off at the airport and, like,
oh, yeah,
like, saying goodbye. Like, you could see, and even then talking to me, like, Doc Sharon about it. Like, oh, like, it's tough. I feel bad for him. He's monitoring his flight the entire time of the episode. So,
yep.
I think that's that little beat of him being like, mom, see him. And also, I think, I don't think it'd be too much of a huge thing just because it's like, they're not going to spend episodes of like, what's the name? Tell me more about the guy. Hey, I'm going to call my son so I can learn more about who my
ex is. Jake.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it was an Infinity Gauntlet. That was a little.
Yeah. What are you going to give Ted Lasso season 3, episode 1?
I'm going to give it 937 out of 1,000. Higgins saying, being told, hey, tell Keeley we say hello and yo. I thought it was really good, only because Roy and Keeley are broken up, and I'm suspecting they'll get back together by the end of the season, so that's a little bit like, okay, cool, great, you guys, oh wow, I'm glad I spent 3 episodes of you guys be broken up for 1 episode to get back together, another episode to have another fight, and then finally in the last episode Roy to be like, will you marry me? I may be the happiest angry man in the world.
Could be
you, what are you gonna give it?
I think we made it a 945 out of 1,000 dum-dum lines.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I just think that's how he perceives being like a hard-ass coach.
Yep.
And all he knows is Ted Lasso and anger. So I think it's kind of funny that's how it combines to the dum-dum line.
He's such a bad coach.
A bad coach.
On the escalator, but people are like, hello, coach. Shelly? No response.
Yeah, but that's he thinks he's that good. He's the wonder kid.
Yep.
I think it's the wonder kid, actually.
Ugh.
But I think it's interesting that he has the moment in that press conference where he is the empty suit and he doesn't really deserve to be there because he did one thing right and then just kind of bailed.
Yep.
But then he has to do this whole like weird spit on himself thing. I feel like he should get checked out for that. I don't know. It's kind of an unhealthy relationship.
Yes, he needs to get checked out for that. That's not something that's like, that's fine.
That's not safe.
No.
Well, that's Ted Lasso season 3, episode 1. Looking forward to more Ted Lasso this year. Mm-hmm. Hopefully on a Christmas episode if we get all the way over to December with it.
No. I don't want – they only need the one Christmas. You don't need multiple Christmas episodes.
No.
It takes away from the first one. If there's another Christmas episode, then you rank the two and then
– you're right. Halloween then. No, there was a Halloween one. No, there wasn't.
No, there was not a Halloween. But Halloween's not being in England.
That's true.
So it'd be an episode of then Ted forcing them to be like, hey, we're all going to celebrate for – I want you to dress up as your favorite person. And then, but then there's going to be a photo of like Jamie in this costume and then Rebecca will be like, Ted, I can't have my Premier League soccer team dressed like the Bee Gees before training. Well, Ted, and then him, of course, being like,
team building.
Rebecca, I'm sorry, I was just getting a little caught up, like, I don't know, like, Rob Williams went through that party for his kids and Mrs. Doubtfire when Sally Field shows up, oh man, I was a dad. And then, I could write this show.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to tell people where they can find
us? You can find us in a boatload of places. You can find us on Instagram at Shane Scuba Steve Show. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us on Google Play. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on Napster, LimeWire. Us playing right now. My away message on AIM is just our episode playing. As soon as you click on my account, it pops up, similar to my Tumblr page. The song will start playing, and the pause is really hidden behind all like the stuff I have on my page.
Okay.
So like you're going to have to click for a little bit. And yeah, you can find us in your hearts.
Hearts and minds.
Yeah.
Hearts and minds.
Mm-hmm.
That's our show, folks.
Yeah.
See you later.
Later.